Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. Communities that are home to military facilities are getting nervous because of budget constraints and sequestration. The Pentagon's being hit hard. It's widely expected that a new round of base closings and reductions could follow under what's called the Base Realignment and Closure, or BRAC, program. There's concern in both military and civilian circles that Scott Air Force Base could be impacted in a next BRAC or even sooner. Scott's military role is global, but his economic importance is local, affecting the entire St. Louis region on both sides of the river. A regional task force has been put together to both preserve and even expand Scott. It's called the Scott Air Force Base in Southwestern Illinois Defense Assets Retention and Expansion Task Force, put together by the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois. I'm Don Marsh. We're talking today with three people heavily involved in that effort. Ellen Crony is Executive Director of the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois and Task Force co-chair. Retired Air Force General Jack Griffith is a Task Force member. And later we'll chat with former Congressman Jerry Costello, who was recently named a consultant to the task force. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Quite welcome.
Thank you, Don.
Certainly an important subject. Ellen, let me begin with you. Do you see sequestration and potential BRAC moves as a threat to Scott Air Force Base?
Well, I think both have a potential to be a threat to Scott Air Force Base. So as sequestration reduces the budgets for the Department of Defense, we may see impacts at Scott Air Force Base and as their budgets are reduced. And then if there is a potential BRAC ahead, potentially in 2015, yeah. That we would certainly could have some impacts on Scott. But we also know that Scott has grown exponentially over the last decade. There's been a 45% increase in growth in Scott Air Force Base, and the task force is really looking to continue that growth. So we want to really, look at what things can we continue to bring to Scott and continue the growth at Scott Air Force Base, in addition to being, mindful of anything that we need to do to defend the base.
Jack, given Scott's military role, strategic role, if you will, in the world today, it's hard to imagine that much could be done to reduce what's going on over there.
Well, I don't think you can reduce those missions at Scott. The question is, could those missions be done somewhere else? And that's the fear that the specter of a BRAC race is that those could be consolidated into some other installation. Excuse me, but the missions themselves are absolutely vital. They are worldwide. They are number one priority with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who has visited Scott and said that Scott is one of the three top military installations in the country. But again, that's the mission and not the installation.
Well, we'll be talking more about this a little bit later with Congressman Costello, but you talk about consolidating facilities. There is also the possibility, as I understand it, that Scott could be the beneficiary of consolidation elsewhere.
Well, that's exactly right. And as Ellen alluded, following the 95 BRAC, Congressman Costello and others worked mightily hard to do just that, to bring additional missions to Scott. And, of course, they were successful. And having done that, put Scott in a very good position for the 2005 BRAC, which they survived very well.
Right. Ellen, back to you with regard to a little background on Scott and its importance to this community. Can you give us kind of an overview how many people are dependent upon Scott? And I was astounded when I saw some of the numbers concerning its economic influence here.
It is astounding. It's the economic engine at Scott Air Force Base. We conducted a community impact assessment in 2012, and there's a $3.2 billion economic impact on a yearly basis from Scott Air Force Base. And as I said, that's a 45% increase from a decade ago when we conducted a similar study. There are 73,000 people directly dependent, the direct impact to Scott Air Force Base, and that includes 5,000 active duty, 2,000 Guard and Reserve that are also at the base, 18,000 retirees, so there's a really strong population of people that come to Scott and then stay there and retire, and then 42,000 dependents, so there's 73,000 people that are dependent upon the activities at Scott Air Force Base.
And over a period of time, I think the figure that I saw over a period of years that Scott has contributed $40 billion to the area's economy?
I can believe that's true, yes. We do that math really quickly. Yes, I can believe that's true.
So therefore, politicians in that area have to be certainly very actively involved in this whole process. How are they involved in the task force?
So we, of course, brief our legislative delegation, and they are absolutely supportive. As we understand more what's ahead as far as the things we need to do to help Scott to grow, you know, we'll be working with them to increase the infrastructure and bring new things to Scott Air Force Base. And working with our legislators is going to be very important to make that happen.
And, of course, Jack, dealing with the military is part of what you all are going to be doing, because the military is going to be making the big decisions, correct?
Well, of course.
So as a task force member, how do you see your role in that?
Well, our role right now is to try to learn everything we can about the missions at Scott, the organizations at Scott, and in particular, as those missions that reside elsewhere that might be compatible with the activities at Scott. So that assessment is going on. As you know, we cannot directly involve the military people at Scott. You know, they are bound to remain neutral in this process. So while we can talk to them and try to gain their insights as to strengths and weaknesses and missions that might be compatible to come here and missions that maybe are here that we ought to be worried about, they cannot become directly involved in this process.
As I mentioned earlier, Jerry Costello is the former congressman from the Metro East District that includes Scott Air Force Base. He signed on as a consultant to the task force along with retired Air Force General Duncan McNabb, who served for 3 years as commander of the U.S. Transportation Command at Scott. Congressman Costello served for 12 terms on Capitol Hill. His job is to influence decision makers, that is, and perhaps even to add to Scott rather than subtract.
We think as decisions are being made that there are other missions that might be able to come from other areas of the country and come to Scott Air Force Base, but that's part of our mission.
Whom will you be trying to influence? Is it the Pentagon that you have to convince, or is it the political wing in Washington?
Well, without a BRAC at the present time, it will be the military leaders in the Pentagon, and it will be certainly be members of Congress that will have influence in the process as well. Senator Durbin from Illinois, of course, is in the leadership in the Senate, and Congressman Enyart is on the Armed Services Committee.
How is it different this time than it has been in the past? I think you've been through this twice, have you not?
Well, I've actually been through it four times, but the two times, both 1995 and 2005, I was very much involved, almost working it on a day-to-day basis. The difference now between the BRAC of 95 and 2005 and what is going on now is that there was a need by the military at that point to make some changes and to realign some bases and close some assets that they didn't believe they needed any longer. So that process was, what do we need to keep and what should we close and realign? Today, while there's not a BRAC, the Congress is saying, we're not going to give you the authority to close bases at this time, but we're only going to give you X number of dollars and you're going to take some severe cuts. In order to do their mission, they're going to be forced to make these cuts on their own. I don't believe that they will necessarily close a base without a BRAC, but that's not to say that they couldn't severely cut back on missions being performed at Scott or any other base. So the difference today is it's not a matter of cutting or closing bases or realigning bases because they do not have the money to function. Those decisions back in 95 and 2005 were based on what their current and future military needs were. Today, it's based on how much money they have to operate the facilities that they have, and it's very clear. It's clear to everyone that they cannot continue to function the way they function today in the future because of budget cuts that are happening now and will happen over the next 9 years.
Does the new budget now moving through Washington, does that take any of the pressure off?
It does. It takes some pressure off. The sequestration that was put into place in the last Congress would have called for a $52 billion cut to the Defense Department every year for the next 10 years. The budget that is moving through the Senate now, and it will take a little bit of the pressure off, but you still have two things going. One, they still have to make cuts. And number two, the military leaders are saying, look, we have facilities that we no longer need, and we have to take the money that you have allowed us to have through the Congress, and we have to use it in other areas as opposed to keeping various wings and various installations. So I don't think there's any question that in the coming year, in the coming 2 years, that you're going to see some major moves on the part of the military, and all of the facilities that they have today will not function in the future the way that that they are operated today.
One of the things that I've been reading is that the biggest hits are likely to take place involving the U.S. Army, that that's where the sharpest reductions are most likely. Does that sound right to you?
It does. I would expect in meeting with wing commanders and officials at Scott Air Force Base and also in Washington, D.C., which we have been doing, everyone expects the Army to take the biggest hit, but they also understand and have made it clear to us the Air Force will take a hit as well. But the Army will take the biggest hit, and the reason why is because we no longer fight wars the way that we used to many years ago.
We spoke with your successor, Bill Enyart, yesterday. He's optimistic that Scott will come out of this okay, and he was even suggesting, as you indicated earlier in our discussion here, that there is even a potential for some expansion.
Well, we hope so, and I think one of the reasons why we believe we can be successful in convincing the Pentagon and others that that Scott can grow is we were able to do that in the 1995 BRAC. Frankly, we came out the 126th Air Refueling Wing, which was located in Chicago. Through the 95 BRAC, we were able to bring them to Scott Air Force Base from Chicago. The BRAC ordered that, and the city of Chicago paid to have that done. In the 2005 BRAC, the Surface Deployment Division of the Army was moved from Virginia and consolidated with the U.S. Transportation Command at Scott Air Force Base. So we were able to come out on the positive side on both of those BRACs.
That's former Illinois Congressman Jerry Costello during a recorded conversation yesterday. He has just recently been named a consultant to the Scott Air Force Base and Southwestern Illinois Defense Assets Retention and Expansion Task Force. I have with me in studio Ellen Crony, Task Force co-chair, and retired Air Force General Jack Griffith, a Task Force member. We are talking about the future of Scott in view of the anticipated Pentagon budget cuts and also in connection with the potential for base realignment and consolidation over the next a couple of years from now. We'll come back and continue our conversation with our guests in studio in just a moment. We'd like to get you involved in it, too. How important is Scott Air Force Base to you and why? We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email, talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation on the future of Scott Air Force Base in the face of sequestration and the potential for some realignment amongst military facilities in this country as a result of budget constraints on the federal government in general and the Pentagon in particular. A task force has been established that's called the Scott Air Force Base in Southwestern Illinois Defense Assets Retention and Expansion Task Force, which is a very long title.
Long name, yes.
And Ellen Crony is the task force co-chair. She's with me in studio, as is retired Air Force General Jack Griffith. He is a task force member. Let me come back to you, Ellen, and ask, we've just listened to Congressman Costello. Anything catch your ear with what he had to say?
First, I'd say we really feel blessed to have Congressman Costello and General retired General Duncan McNabb as part of our task force. They bring such a wealth of expertise and just knowledge of the military and Scott Air Force Base. And I would concur with his comments. I think we've got a lot of potential to do great things to continue the growth at Scott, and we need also to be really careful that we don't lose anything there. Mm-hmm. One of the things he mentioned was operating costs. And I think that's an opportunity for us is to look at their operating costs and how we might be able to help with public partnerships or public-private partnerships for some of the services at the base. So that's certainly one we'll be looking at.
And Jack, this is not all necessarily a bad thing. The idea of review and, you know, establishing cuts that are significant and yet not damaging is a good thing in today's world.
Well, we have to face the worldwide threat, as well as the economic posture of the United States and just what kind of defense we can afford. And obviously, as we pair the force structure of all the services coming out of the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts, we find ourselves with excess infrastructure throughout all the services. So the budget constraints on the services just say that we need to close some military installations, and you can't get to where we need to go by nickel dime piecemeal cuts here and there. You really need to make some significant cuts. So that as a military man, I'm 100% for the defense of the United States, but I also don't want to see us go bankrupt providing excess capacity that we don't need.
And if there is some fat out there that can be cut without damaging the overall mission and the overall country national security, why not? So we have to do it at home.
That's right. Right.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know, a businessman in business to make a profit would not put up with excess capacity. He'd find a way to rid himself of it, and that's what the Department of Defense needs to do. Having said that, we here don't want it in our backyard. We want to maintain the status quo or improve the situation at Scott, but only if it makes economic and defense sense to do so.
Ellen, can you tell me basically what the process is going to be from this point forward for the task force?
Sure. The task force was formed by St. Clair County, Madison County, and the Leadership Council. So our tri-chair is Terry Beach from St. Clair County, Frank Miles from Madison County, and then I'm representing the Leadership Council. We have a task force of 8 members that are participating with us with different expertise that we bring to the table. We have hired and contracted with our consulting team, which includes retired Congressman Jerry Costello, Duncan McNabb, and a firm from Washington, D.C., a public relations firm, Smith Dawson Andrews. The next step in our process right now we are really just making sure we understand the current state. So we've met with our mayors and the county board chairs, and we've met with some of the Scott Air Force Base leadership, and we're looking at what are the opportunities, what are the threats, what are our strengths and weaknesses, and the next step in this is to develop a strong work plan with actions that we can implement.
I wonder how much has been learned from past situations, past BRACs, for instance, and past concerns about expenditures.
You know, I think we've learned a lot, and we modeled this effort after what was done in 2005. The Leadership Council took a similar role with our counties in 2005 and in 95. So we're taking some similar, you know, we're putting together a similar effort because it was successful. So we went back and reviewed all the things that we did in the past, talked with lots of the people that worked in those areas, and as Congressman Costello said, he was very involved in that, as was General Griffith. Mm-hmm. And so we are bringing people that have been through this and know the way to make it work right. So we've learned a lot from the past, and we're using it.
Jack, maybe you can follow up on that, having been through this yourself in the past, what you've learned and what you think, how you think you can apply what you did learn to today.
I think the first thing we learned is that we have to understand exactly what goes on at the installation. Those missions have changed over the years. We have not been proactive as the leadership council, although we have a military affairs committee. We haven't really kept up to speed with the mission changes at Scott. So the first thing we have to do is understand what has changed since we went through this before, and a lot has changed. There have been a lot of new missions. The U.S. Transportation Command has grown exponentially during that time. They brought the Army's Surface Deployment Distribution Command to Scott. Those are entirely new things that we need to understand and understand how the community can support them in their missions. The second thing we need to understand are what are the risks to the missions at Scott, and we're trying to do that. An example is the non-selection of Scott for the basing of the KC-46A. That new tanker is coming on, and the basing decisions have been made for the first round. We, unfortunately, did not get involved in what the criteria would be for that basing until it was too late. Had we been out in front of that, perhaps, only perhaps, could we have influenced the criteria to a degree that Scott would have been more competitive. So those are the kinds of things that we have to get our arms around and get moving on. We need to develop a strategy, both near-term and long-term, because this is going to be, in my opinion, a long-term process.
Ellen, it would seem to me that a case could be made for keeping something like the task force in operation full-time from this point forward.
Well, I think that at least in the foreseeable future, yeah, we will definitely have a task force focused in this manner on Scott Air Force Base. And I think that we, as Jack said, we have a military affairs committee, so we've worked really hard to ensure our relationships are strong at the base and that we support the base. And I think the St. Louis region in general does a wonderful job of supporting Scott Air Force Base. It was evidenced as we won the Abilene Award this year, which is awarded to the base that has the best support for their airmen. And we tried for many years to win that award, and they were quite just excited as they could be that we won it. So I think the support for the community has been ongoing and strong, and we've helped to lead that. This is a little different, as you can tell. This is much more about helping with understanding the missions, understanding what we can bring. And that work, I know, will be moving forward at least for the next 5 years.
Sure. What I was getting at is if we miss the boat on the tanker, that some mechanism should be in place to ensure that things like that don't happen again. Is there such a mechanism, or could the task force as a permanent entity accomplish that?
Well, that's exactly why we were spurred to action to begin with, was the tanker decision, and that led to the task force that we currently have to worry about sequestration and BRAC. So, in my opinion, yes, I think a permanent organization under the leadership council would be well served.
In gathering the information and making the kinds of inquiries that you have been making and will be making, how forthcoming is the military, and can the military be in answering your questions?
It's a mixed bag. They can certainly tell us about the things that we're doing right as a community. They can tell us about the things that we should be worried about that are within community control. And beyond that, as far as military missions and so forth, they're very reticent, and properly so. On the things the community can and should be doing, as we talk to the commanders at Scott, from the wing commanders all the way through to the 4 stars, the number one thing that they mention to the community should worry about is encroachment. St. Clair County has done a great job in establishing boundaries that don't allow encroachment at Scott. But they're threatened every day by developers and others who want to come into that zone. There are a couple of buildings now in the encroachment zone, and they will be allowed to stay, obviously. But the commanders all say, don't let encroachment come any further.
I find it hard to believe with the military facility and that particular real estate that anybody could encroach that, you know, unless it was desired that they do so.
Well, there's no way to keep them out unless you own all the land, and the military does not own the land. So,
well, that comes as a surprise to me. I would have assumed that it would own the land for its entire facility. It does not.
Oh, it owns the land for the facility. Yeah. The encroachment is concerned with airspace encroachment.
Oh, okay.
Accident zone encroachment and noise level encroachment. And those are obviously off of the end of the runway. So, you know, if you allow the buildings to come too close to the end of the runway, then they're in a high accident zone, high accident potential zone, and they need to be stopped.
And the land use plan that Jack mentioned that St. Clair County has put into place does a really good job of that moving forward. So I think they've done a good job of stepping up and saying, let's make sure we don't have any more of that.
What about the other airport over there? How does that work into this whole mix?
Mid-America is a joint use airport. The military has capability to use the runway and the other facilities at Mid-America. For example, this time of year, airplanes need to be de-iced before takeoff, and Mid-America has a very, very fine de-icing facility. So both the tankers and the C-40s take advantage of that at Mid-America, as well as using that runway for takeoffs and landings. They also, of course, use the Scott runway, even though it's 2,000 feet shorter. But this time of year, the airplanes can get off of the shorter runway without any problem. It's only in the heat of the summer that the tankers really have a limitation on runway length.
Because?
Maximum gross weight takeoffs. The KC-135 at max gross needs every bit of that 10,000-foot runway to get off in the heat of the summer, 89 degrees, 90 degrees. This time of year, they can take off from Scott without any problem.
Gee, it rarely gets up to 89 or 90 degrees around here, does it? Ellen, this is complicated business. I mean, the more we talk about it, the more complicated, obviously, it is.
It's very complex. Yeah. Just the different entities and the way they work together is complex. So the Air Force and then the local governments and then the local businesses that support the Air Force, all the contractors, and then the active duty versus the civilians that are on the base. There's a lot of moving parts to consider. That's why I'm really happy we have some excellent the people that are helping us from a consulting perspective have a lot of good background, and they can really be influential in helping us make the right decisions.
Is it possible at this stage of the game to weigh or analyze morale, civilian and military, knowing that out there is this uncertainty? Have you been able to judge that?
Well, we have a lot of interaction with the base at the Leadership Council, and I think that as they were going through the furloughs this year and some of the sequestration and the salary freeze that's been on for several years, I think that there's been that hurts morale. That hurts, the ability to support our airmen. It hurts readiness. And we're really encouraged that maybe we won't be back in that the budget will pass and we won't be back in that position again in the near future. Mm-hmm. But I think that the thing we hear from our airmen is that they feel a real strong sense of support and love from the region, from the people in the region. They over and over I hear that they feel welcomed, they feel supported. People, when they deploy, leave their families at Scott, not take them back to where they're from, mm-hmm. because they feel safe here and they feel supported.
And Jack, morale is a key issue, obviously. You're
Absolutely.
A longtime military man, and this is something that I'm sure you would watch very closely.
Absolutely. And The uncertainty of the budget process over the last several years has made some personnel decisions difficult. Reenlistment bonuses, housing allowances, just all kinds of things that the services wind up reducing because of the budget situation. That does have an effect. The military commanders have always placed a high priority on family support, and they're doing so today. But those programs have been under the gun as we go through this sequestration process. I think, though, we have a new budget. Unfortunately, it's still not going to be enough to cover all the readiness needs of the department and all of those things that we like to do for military families as well. So there are going to be some reductions, and there will be some adverse impact on morale.
I know there is some current concern with this new budget over pensions and things that have gotten a lot of attention during this discussion.
Yeah, the budget, as I understand it, and I haven't been able to read it, but as I understand it, reduces by 1% the retirement pay for retirees under age 62, I believe it is. It may be age 65. But anyway, reduces the retirement pay for those individuals by 1% from the time they retire until they reach that golden age, if you will. That's a pretty severe financial impact, and of course that's going to be damaging to the morale not only of retirees but to active duty members who are looking to retire and see, gee, they've made that change. What's to prevent them from reducing my pension even further? I think that's a very real concern.
But as Congressman Costello pointed out, Ellen, the new budget has taken a little bit of the pressure off because it wasn't quite as bad as folks had thought.
That's right. Yeah. It has taken some pressure off, at least in the short term. Yeah. We still have to be very mindful of the long term.
Here again, you're talking about the complexity. All of the components we're talking about, we tend to think of, you know, reducing the size of Scott Air Force Base is one thing, and that's the way people look at base closure and that sort mm-hmm. of thing. But it's really in terms of recruitment and all the other aspects of what make our military work, it affects that as well.
Right.
Have to take another break. We'll do that now. We're talking about the future of Scott Air Force Base in the wake of impending budget cuts and the potential down the road for base reduction and closure for some facilities. I don't think anybody is really so pessimistic that we're going to lose much at Scott. What the concern is what will we gain? I think that's a big part of the discussion. A task force has been implemented to make sure that all of the assets over there are protected. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And as I say, we'd love to have you become a part of the conversation. So give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. You can also send us a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Ellen Croney and retired Air Force General Jack Griffith, again talking about the future of Scott Air Force Base. I'd like to go to the phones. We have some folks who want to get into this discussion, so let's bring them in. We'll start with Mary Ann calling from St. Louis. Mary Ann, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I'm Mary Ann McGivern, and I founded the Peace Economy Project back in 1977, and we were part of the successful development of commercial jobs during the big military cuts in the 1990s. And I just want to make a couple of points, that the military is not a jobs project, and that as a jobs creator, it's inefficient. And it's just downright unpatriotic to want the military to spend money here if Scott Air Force Base is not needed. Now, I get it that people are unafraid to plan for commercial uses of Scott because they think the Pentagon will then close it. They'll say, well, you know, that community has plans. But if Scott is needed, the Pentagon will keep it. And it's fine to encourage further development and remind the Pentagon that Scott is there. But planning is everything. Scott has productive capacity. It has job shops, an airport, a hospital, housing stock, retirees will stay in the community. They aren't going to go anywhere. And the data shows that communities that plan for conversion to commercial production do better than they did with military bases. So the thing, I don't want to argue against the base. This is not about not supporting the troops, but.
Well, Mary, I'm not quite sure what your point really is.
My point is that there is a big, important committee set up over in Illinois to keep and develop the base without anybody looking carefully at what's the capacity and what would it be like if commercial development had to take place.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get some response to that. Number one, Jack, I'll turn to you for this. We just can't make Scott Air Force Base go away and turn it into a commercial civilian facility.
Yeah, I'm a little bit at a loss as to what the recommendation would be for commercial enterprise at Scott Air Force Base. Marianne, do you think the missions can be turned over to civilian, or do you see a new civilian enterprise? I need to understand a little more, I guess, about where you're coming from.
I guess I would say that's my point, that if the Pentagon decided, or if there was a BRAC review and Scott Air Force Base is closed, then what would happen? Now, and what we know is that communities that engage in planning that ask this question do a lot better with base closures than those that deny that a base will be closed until it happens. So it's exactly my point that you would be at a loss about what else could happen there, because nobody on your committee is thinking that way. It doesn't hurt to ask that question. That's my point.
Okay, I think we've got it now, Marianne. Thanks. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I agree to a point. Certainly, alternate use of military installations is a valuable and viable subject that we need to consider. And I would say to you that in the process, I think we will be doing that. We certainly did that in the 1995 rounds, both with Scott and the Charles Melvin Price Support Center. And as you know, or you probably know, the economic development that has transpired at the Charles Melvin Price Support Center is pretty astounding. So there is an example right in our community where that kind of thinking was done, and we were involved in that very heavily. I would say to you that that's an alternate. The primary plan is to keep the mission's viable as long as they meet the defense needs of this country, and to the extent that we can help expand those, that's a viable mission for us as well. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive, and I think that the Leadership Council has had a role in alternate planning. I would say to you one further thing, that even with good alternate planning, not all bases have come out well over a long period of years. And I would just point to Chanute Air Force Base at Rantoul. They're still way behind where they were when they were an active installation.
Did you want to add anything to that, Ellen?
No, I concur that there was a lot of work done with the task force in the past to plan for the Mel Price change to America's Central Port. Yes.
One of the things that kind of crosses my mind and listening to Mary Ann is the subject of joint use, which is already to a very small degree taking mm-hmm. place over there, but that is could be used as kind of a transition if that were ever something that needed to be done, just kind of working joint use in gradually. Does that make any sense? Am I making any sense?
Joint use has some limitations. It has some real opportunities. General McNabb, who is working with us, points to the great success of the city of Charleston and Charleston Air Force Base in South Carolina, where they've been under a joint use arrangement for, I suppose, 15 or 20 years, and it's an economic success story, both for the city and commercial aviation, as well as for the Air Force. So absolutely, there is a potential to do bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that you folks have looked at, Ellen?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we'll be continuing to work very closely with Mid-America Airport.
It does seem to make some sense,
yes.
Given today's climate.
Absolutely.
Back to the phones. We'll bring in Donald calling from your neck of the woods, O'Fallon, Illinois. Go ahead, Donald.
Hi. I'm a retired Air Force transportation officer. I used to work with the general. And listening to the conversation this morning, I think one point that the committee could focus on, I didn't hear it talked about too much, but could be developed as the forces of the United States are drawn down, especially Army, Marines that have to be deployed, the less combat force we have, the more the need for mobility, and Scott Air Force Base has become the nexus for mobility in a Department of Defense. So it would be basically disastrous shooting off our foot to decrease that capability when the need is there to move people more quickly to a given area. And I think that would be a useful thing for the committee to develop.
Thanks for the call. Jack?
Don, I agree that with the U.S. Transportation Command and the Air Mobility Command, some of the other organizations at Scott, that Scott is on the verge of becoming the transportation center of excellence. It already is for the Department of Defense, and I think it has that potential for the federal government as well, including such activities as FEMA disaster preparedness and so forth. I don't see a threat, frankly, to the major commands at Scott. That mission is so essential to the national defense. While it could be done anywhere, the infrastructure's in place, particularly the communications infrastructure redundancy that exists at Scott is just not available anywhere and can't be reproduced without mega billions of dollars and time. So I think that part of the mission is pretty safe and subject to expansion as well.
This sort of thing, this analysis, is going on all over the country, Ellen. Every place where there's a military facility is going through the same thing. Does that put any kind of additional pressure on you folks and what you're doing and how you're looking at it?
I think we feel a strong burden to make sure that we are successful in our efforts and that we, in the big picture, we continue to keep Scott growing. And you're right. Communities all across the nation do this, have the same kind of efforts that we have. I think it was one of the things we have as an advantage, I think, is the team that we've got assembled that can really understand where the military is going and understand what Scott Air Force Base has to bring and how it can grow. So I think that's our advantage.
They all want the same things you want, though. There's
exactly.
No question about that.
That's right.
Jack, how much of an advantage is the geographic position of Scott in the middle of the country to Scott and to the operation?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think it's hard to answer. Intuitively, one would say as a transportation center of the United States with the interstates, the railroads, the airports, the barge traffic, seaport availability, that it would make Scott even more valuable. Again, the Transportation Center of Excellence, I think, is a role that the U.S. Transportation Command will fulfill. So I think all those things wrap up to make it a very important place.
All right. Go ahead, Ella.
One other thing that we really haven't touched on, the model for the military going forward is joint service. Mm-hmm. So the reserve working with the active duty, the guard working with the active duty, and at Scott Air Force Base, we have that today. And it's operating very well. They're very closely connected. So I think that's another advantage for Scott Air Force Base is that we already have that jointness, the associations that they're working to put in place at other bases.
Will you be making a series of recommendations or something as time goes along? I mean, I know you got Jerry Costello and General McNabb working and lobbying. I mean, they're basically mm-hmm. consultant lobbyists, if you will. How is that going to work?
We will be putting together a series of actions that are recommendations for us to help to strengthen the base, whether that's infrastructure improvements that we need to have funded or things that we would recommend come to Scott Air Force Base and work that through the Department of Defense.
So it will go to the – you'll deal with the Pentagon on, yeah. on that. Okay.
I think, if I may
– Of course.
The actions that we can identify that the communities around the base can take are very important as
yes.
well. So.
You know, we've talked about the military. Obviously, we're talking about Scott Air Force Base, but you gave the numbers earlier, Ellen, about the number of civilians, and we talked about morale. I mean, these folks have to be as worried, if not more so, than the military people, because there could be jobs at stake in any kind of consolidation.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yes. I think they are as concerned, and we, you know, as the missions grow, so does the civilian population typically. So, you know, I think they support these efforts as well.
Well, there are more civilians involved over there than there are military, obviously.
Yes.
I think we have time for another call. Let's bring in Sandra calling from Bridgeton. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hi, thank you. What I'm wondering about is, I hope I did not hear you guys correctly. It sounded like those of us who are currently getting retirement checks every month are suddenly going to be losing 1% of what we've been getting. Is that what you guys said?
We'll turn to the retired general for that one.
The current budget, as passed by the House and Senate, by my understanding, and is about to be signed by the President, calls for a 1% reduction in retired pay for retirees under age 62. Once they reach age 62, they go back to receiving the unencumbered retirement.
Those of us who can't find a job and are living on that retirement, we're just going to lose $140 a month?
If that's 1% of your retirement pay.
I don't know what 1% is. What's 1%? I don't know.
Sandra, we certainly understand what you're thinking and what you're going through and trying to figure this out. I think it's a little off point with this particular panel, though. This is a discussion for people in Washington who put this budget together. So you might want to contact your congressman's office and find out exactly what's in there and how you directly will be impacted. Sorry we can't be of more help, but certainly understand your concerns about losing potential income. Thank you so much for calling. In the just a few seconds we have left, when are we going to get some sense of BRAC and whether BRAC is going to be reinstituted and we have to deal with that again?
It depends how many people you ask, how many different okay. answers you get. The consensus seems to be 2016, but some think it won't be until 2018. But everyone agrees that we talk to that there needs to be a BRAC and there will be another BRAC in one of those 2 years. Some even say as early as 2015, but most count it out before the election.
And this brings the politicians into it.
Absolutely.
As well. Okay, well, no comment. Thank you so much, folks, for being with us and bringing us up to speed in what's going on and likely to go on at Scott Air Force Base. Retired Air Force General Jack Griffith, it's been a pleasure seeing you. Good luck with your work with the task force. And Ellen Crony, task force co-chair, thank you so much for being with us, and I hope your cold gets better. You poor thing.
Thank you, Don.
You've been snuggling throughout this hour.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for being with us. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, when he'll talk about the St. Louis Chamber Chorus's next concert, which observes Britain's centennial as well as the Christmas season. He'll also talk with Grammy Award-winning composer, conductor, and producer John McDaniel about his holiday concert and his Kirkwood roots, and we'll hear two Christmas selections by jazz vocalist Kim Massey and pianist Peter Martin, recorded during the recent St. Louis Public Radio concert. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, Jeremy Bailey, Kristen Torres, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. And we say thanks and goodbye to our intern, Kristen Torres, and wish her well as she looks forward to an exciting future and a fellowship in Russia in January. Kristen, we'll miss you. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.